KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's cloudy and 47 degrees. We're looking for it to be cloudy today with a chance of light rain, mainly this afternoon, a high of 52. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your Trane home comfort specialist dealer. In state news, Governor Kim Reynolds signed a proclamation Monday extending the transportation of overweight loads of corn, soybeans, hay, straw, silage, and stover. The proclamation will expire on December 1st. The proclamation allows vehicles to transport corn, soybeans, hay, straw, silage, and stover to be overweight, not exceeding 90,000 pounds, though, gross weight, without a permit, and only for the duration of the proclamation, again until December 1st. The action is intended to allow loads transported on all highways within Iowa, excluding the interstate system, and those which do not exceed a maximum of 90,000 pounds in gross weight and do not exceed a maximum axle weight limited determined under the current primary non-primary highway maximum gross weight table in Iowa code by more than 12.5%. Also, the weight limit cannot exceed the legal maximum axle weight limit of 20,000 pounds and comply with the posted speed limits, or the posted weight limits, it is, on the bridges and roads. The Iowa Department of Transportation is directed to monitor the operation of the proclamation to ensure the public safety and facilitate the movement of the trucks involved in the state's harvest. Police in Creston are investigating an incident of vandalism at the high school track. Authorities say school officials reported Monday that sometime overnight Sunday into early Monday morning, someone drove on the school track in Creston and went through a fence. The incident resulted in $3,000 damage. And a man residing in the 400 block of New York Avenue in Creston reported this Monday morning that sometime between November 1st and the 13th, someone had stolen an electronic computer module from a Dodge truck that was parked in a property he owns at 200 Russell Street. Someone had also attempted to gain access to the building at the address by pulling away wire and removing a window. The damage and loss was estimated at $350 altogether. The Mills County Sheriff's Office reports four recent arrests. On Sunday night, Joshua Kenneth Walcott of Red Oak was arrested for OWI second offense, no SR-22 insurance, and driving under suspension. His bond was set at $3,300. Saturday morning, 49-year-old Brian William Storm of Council Bluffs was arrested at the Pottawatomie County Jail on a Mills County warrant for violation of probation and OWI second offense. Storm's bond was set at $2,000. Last Thursday afternoon, 33-year-old Dustin Lee Lingerfelt of Tarkio, Missouri, was arrested at the Pott County Jail on a Mills County warrant for possession of drug paraphernalia, providing false information, fugitive from justice, theft in the second degree, and burglary in the second degree. Also, his bond was set at $15,600. Also arrested at the Pott County Jail on Thursday was 41-year-old William Edward Frazier Sr. He was taken into custody on a Mills County warrant for probation violation. The bond was set at $5,000 in that instance. Also, there were no injuries reported following an accident Saturday morning in Mills County. Sheriff's officials say a 1999 Jeep driven by 75-year-old Beverly Golden of Council Bluffs was traveling south on 221st Street and went out of control on the wet pavement as it came around a curve. The 2012 Toyota driven by Gregory Schultz of Glenwood was traveling north in that same area. As the Jeep came into his lane, Schultz tried to avoid the collision, but the left rear of the Jeep collided to the left side of the Toyota. Afterward, the Toyota entered the east ditch and crashed through a fence. Schultz was able to drive the vehicle back onto the correct side of the fence. The Jeep then came to rest on the west side, about 50 yards off the roadway. The Toyota had damage to both sides of its vehicles. There were no citations issued. Atlantic Municipal Utilities and the Atlantic Area Chamber of Commerce have announced the annual holiday Christmas lighting contest called Deck the Homes. The contest encourages the community to nominate their favorite merry and bright home. Bailey Smith, executive director of the Atlantic Area Chamber of Commerce, said they love partnering with AMU on the project because it really encourages community pride and everyone loves the twinkling lights. To nominate your favorite merry and bright home, you can contact Atlantic Municipal Utilities at 712-243-1395. Winners will receive an Atlantic Municipal Utilities voucher. They'll pay your bill. Nominations are due on December 11th. You can pick up your Christmas brochure from area retail businesses. You can like the Chamber on Facebook or follow them on Twitter for dates and details to celebrate Christmas in Atlantic, or just go to www.christmasinatlantic.com. Elsewhere in regional news, it turned unusually cold last week, but at least it was dry. allowing farmers in Iowa and Nebraska to make progress harvesting the corn and soybeans. The U.S. Department of Agriculture said in its weekly crop report out Monday afternoon that Iowa producers have said they have 85% of the corn crop harvested, and that's about a week behind average. Nebraska's at 86%, lagging behind the five-year average of 90% at this point in the same season. Iowa's soybean crop is 97% complete, about 5 days behind average, and Nebraska farmers report they're all but finished with the soybeans at 99% harvested. Iowa educators and the American Heart Association say poor child health, including obesity rates, have reached a critical level that's impacting far more than just the individuals whose health is at risk. Brian Rhodes, a physical education curriculum leader with West Des Moines Community Schools, says it's becoming a national security issue.
We're not having students leave our school systems in a position where they can join the military because they're not physically healthy to do that.
The federal Every Student Succeeds Act, which replaces No Child Left Behind, is in its first year, which means that states have an initial opportunity to present a plan addressing student assessments, student accountability, funding, and support for struggling schools. The words physical education only appear once in Iowa's lengthy draft, and they're only used in reference to elementary school students. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, nearly one in four young adults are too heavy to serve in our military. Research from the American Heart Association shows that 95% of parents with students under the age of 18 want physical education to be a part of their child's overall education. Rhodes says he's concerned, however, that the issue is not being prioritized and resources could actually decrease further.
I don't think the legislation is going to appropriate funds for a program that doesn't have standards within the state. Until that's in place, I don't think we're going to have the traction to move forward in the way that we really want.
In recent years, state budget woes have led to physical education curriculum cuts. According to the CDC, the Department of Defense, our nation's largest employer, spends about $1.5 billion annually in obesity-related health care costs for current and former service members and their families, as well as costs to replace unfit personnel. The executive director of the Iowa Turkey Federation in Ames, Greta Irwin, says production is up and there should be plenty of bargains when you buy the big bird for the holiday.
Our industry is actually in a little bit of an oversupply, and so across the board, our turkey prices are down a little bit.
She says the industry has rebounded from the impact of the bird flu epidemic that wiped out thousands of birds, but is now facing some other supply issues.
We've seen a little stress on our export markets. So not being able to export products, like say, to China and some of these other countries has put a little more surplus of turkey meat here into the U.S. So consumers are going to have that advantage to go out and buy turkey for a very economical price.
The USDA retail report on turkeys released last week shows prices range from 39 cents to $1.79 per pound for frozen turkeys in the Midwest. Fresh turkeys range from $1.29 to $1.99 a pound for fresh birds. The report noted that retailers are starting to offer special holiday price promotions on turkeys. Irwin says Iowans should be able to find turkeys for under $1 a pound. The turkey you buy for Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner likely won't be an Iowa-grown bird. Irwin says the majority of Iowa-raised turkeys are processed for use as lunch meat and other products, and the industry there has been expanding.
We've actually moved from number 8 in the U.S. in turkey production up to number 7, and so Iowa now is ranked as the 7th largest turkey production state, and we're about 5th in turkey processing.
Minnesota is the top producer, and Missouri another producer ahead of Iowa in the turkey business.
You know, it makes sense that we're raising those turkeys close to the corn and soybeans that are produced here in Iowa, because each turkey is going to eat a bushel of corn and a third of a bushel of soybeans. So taking that value-added crop from our farmers here in Iowa, feeding it to the turkeys, and then using that turkey manure as a great soil amendment to our fields really creates a wonderful holistic cycle.
You can find out more about turkey recipes and preparing the big bird at www.turkeyfederation.org. That is a check of the news brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.